WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito, and happy Friday to you. God bless you, my friends. Thank you for tuning in here today to WGOD. We're going to hear a word now. Our sermon series in the book of Revelation continues in chapter 13 here today and Monday. For some strange reason, now this is going back 2 years, this series, I've entitled this Today, If You Hear His Voice. But we're in Revelation chapter 13, that I know. So you and I can find out together why I named this what I did. I invite you to church this weekend. We're starting a new series. We are starting a study in the book of Galatians, verse by verse, brand new. We're just starting that this Sunday, and you are invited. If you're not going to church, if you're sick and tired that your pastor or your church doesn't teach out of the Bible, but teaches fluff from somewhere else, self-help books or something, friends, time is too short to be messing around with junk. I invite you to come out to our church. God's doing a great work. He's building this church now. We're over 50 people now, and it's has grown tremendously in the last year, really since COVID hit, and we decided to keep our doors open and to imagine that trust in God instead of the government. He's done a great work. You are invited. Love to see you Sunday morning at 10:30. If you're unable to make it, our live feed will kick off at 10:35 a.m. So download the app, Island Community Church FL. It'll be broadcast live on there, as well as on the Facebook page, Island Community Church Facebook page. That'll go active as well at 10:35 Sunday morning. But I invite you. We have a wonderful church family. They're very loving and friendly, and you will be made to feel like royalty if you come back, if you come by and visit our church. We are at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. We meet Sunday mornings at 10:30. We meet Wednesday evenings at 6 o'clock for a midweek Bible study. We're in Romans chapter 8 this coming Wednesday. But I'd love to see you today. IslandCommunityChurch.net is our website. I've given you the address for the app. Looking forward to seeing you. Now, this is going to play today and Monday. Today, if you hear his voice. Have a wonderful, blessed weekend, everyone. God bless you all. We'll see you back here on the radio on Monday, and perhaps I'll see you in person on Sunday. Perhaps you say it's a strange name for a title for a sermon on Revelation chapter 13 and the Antichrist. We're entering into chapter 13, the book of Revelation, my favorite chapter in all the book, by the way. Let me add, this has been the best study ever this time around. And that's because God is faithful. Way back in chapter 1, we learned this. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep the things written therein, for the time is near. And indeed, the world's on high alert. But that's why this has been the best time ever, because God's promised to bless it every time you read it and study it, and every time you all listen. You listen to what I say, you heed the words, and you do what he says, and he promises you, you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed, you personally, your health, your life, your family, your children, you'll be blessed. You'll get the Midas touch. The things that you touch will turn to gold. When you listen and hear and keep the things written therein. How do you do that? Honor God. Don't take the mark of the beast. That's keeping the things written therein. Not being deceived is keeping the things written therein. The seven letters to the seven churches. To those who persevere to the end, I'll let you sit on my throne. That is going to be a tremendous blessing. Can you imagine that today? That promise, for all those that persevere to the end, I will grant you to sit with me on my throne. Take that home with you today. And I'm sorry for all those that weren't in church today, because you've missed that. That would be enough to send me off the deep end this week. Those that persevere to the end can sit with me on my throne. As I also overcame and sat with my Heavenly Father on His throne. Take that home with you today. And meditate on that. Blessed are those who hear, who read and keep, and who hear the words of this prophecy. And those who keep the things written therein. For the time is near. And indeed, since that day, Jesus was taken up, and they said, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? He's coming back in like manner, just as you saw him go. And the day that that happened, the time has been near. It's all the same day to him. I preached it before on when John says, little children, it is the last hour. How do you know it's the last hour? Once he goes up into heaven, the hourglass goes and the sand starts to come down. Once the Lord is taken up into heaven. But this is why it's been the best study ever, is because God keeps his word. And depending on what side of the fence you are on, that's going to be either a blessing or your worst nightmare, that God keeps his word. You'll see why I say that if you don't already know it coming up. These past few weeks, we've been looking at the rapture because it fits right in with what we've been looking at lately. That is the last trumpet. Last week, we looked at the Apostle Paul's take on the Antichrist, whom he called the man of sin. And he tied that into the rapture, saying the day of Christ and our gathering together to him could not or would not take place until this man of sin was unveiled. Remember last week? Perhaps you've seen the movies or you've read the Left Behind books. How many people here have read the Left Behind series of books? They portray a world of people upset that they missed the rapture while their family members were caught up and vanished. Then these people, that is in the books, then these people finally get it together and make it to heaven on the proverbial next train. And I'm here to inform you today that as a human being who has heard the gospel and who has heard of Jesus Christ, that there's only one train. Ask the five virgins who weren't ready and missed that train. There was one train that left the depot. Proverbially speaking, not two, one. When it arrives, I do not know. When it does arrive, all those who have received a ticket will get in and will finally rest with their lifelong struggles finally over. All those who never asked for a ticket. Now you see, Jesus is handing out tickets, even right now as we speak. All that's required is that you confess that you need one and declare that you want one. That's all that's required. You can't get on this train on your own. You need a ticket. You confess that you need one and declare that you want one. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace, in which we now stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Jesus Christ is handing out tickets today.
On the back of the ticket, it says, admit one. Not two, but one. You can't pick up a ticket for your husband or wife or your son or daughter. They've got to get their own ticket. Their own access to heaven and eternal life. And that, in my opinion, is the great scam pulled on the church of Jesus Christ and why I'm so opposed to it. You have to make a decision today to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and turn and repent of your sins. One train, not two, not for you, not for everyone in this church, not for everyone on the radio that hears this on Monday morning. There's one train, because all of you have heard it, just like Jesus said, now that you've heard this, now you can say you have no sin. There's one train. The Bible says, through whom we have access, by faith, into this grace, God's grace. I'm standing in God's grace. There's another, right? Blessed are you if you do. For all those who persevere to the end, I will keep you out of the hour of trial that's going to come upon the whole world. Through whom we have access. Here's your ticket. Admit one, not two. In him we have access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The great scam pulled on the church of Jesus Christ is that there's two trains and there's only one. Oh, there might be a train for the Aborigine and somewhere in the deepest recesses of Africa that's never heard the gospel, maybe, but not for you. You've heard it. Not for all you on the radio. You've heard it. Now you've heard it. You'd be better off not turning your radio on today. But now you heard it. The wages of sin is death. But there's a comma there. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. He's done the work. All you got to do is receive the ticket to get on that train. I heard that song here, this Ronnie Millsap song. People get ready. There's a train a-coming. And that's got my idea here in my head. But the lyrics are wrong. It says you don't need a ticket. All you got to do is just get on board. No, you need a ticket. Jesus is handing them out. Like he said this morning, I said the ticket. He says he gives you a new white robe. Matthew 22, you read about those that got in without the robe. And he says, what are you doing in here, friend? He says, take him and tie him up and cast him into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. You got to go in through the door. Jesus Christ says, I am the door. All who enter in by me will be saved. And he gives you a white stone at the door with a name on it that no one knows. That's your ticket and some new clothing washed in the blood. You got to have a ticket to get on this train. And that, in my opinion, is the great scam. Pushing off till tomorrow what you need to do today, because you don't know if you're going to be alive tomorrow. Has anyone in this church ever known anyone that's died? Is that the stupidest question I've ever asked in 6 years here? Because once the master of the house has risen up and shuts the door, you see, let's let him and him tell you himself. Someone come up to Jesus one day and they said to him, Lord, are there few that are be saved? And he said to them, this is Luke 13:24, by the way. He said to them, agonizo, strive to enter in through the narrow gate, because many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. That's all the people that read the Left Behind books and thought it was gospel. If you reject Jesus Christ in the here and now, you've lost. Many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. when once the master of the house has risen up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at that door, say, Lord, Lord, open up. And he will answer and say to you, I do not, ook oiden, I do not know you or where you are from. And you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence. That's probably the partaking of Holy Communion. We ate and drank right in your presence. Do this in remembrance of me. So many communion tables I've seen, it's got written on it. We ate and drank right in your presence. You taught in our streets, but he will say, I tell you, I do not know you. Again, a word we looked at in Sunday school, right, Carol? Intimate knowledge of someone. Even the demons, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, you taught in our streets, and he will say, I tell you, I just don't know you, where you are from. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. So as our Lord informs us, therefore be ye also ready. For at an hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And that's where we left off last week, isn't it? Darren comes up to me and says, I'm confused. And I said, I've done my job. Nobody knows. Hello. You don't know? All right, then. That's good. Even Jesus didn't know. Where's that in the Bible? Okay. I'm glad you asked. That's Mark 13:32. Write it down. Write it down. Jesus does not know. Mark 13:32. That's where you'll find that. Now, we're going to get into chapter 13 here, verse 1. But this is why I'm irked. And that is because of all the teachings, and like the book and the series go, that if you miss the rapture, that you've got 7 years to believe. And with all my studies in the Bible, I don't see that anywhere. And I think that's a dangerous false teaching to tell someone that if you reject Jesus Christ, you've got another chance, because the Bible is explicitly clear that today is the day of salvation. You don't know if you're going to live tomorrow. So, Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. Remember the symbolism, symbols, understanding this book. This is why we're doing so good. We've understood what all the symbols have meant. Revelation 13, 1, John speaking. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And on his horns were 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. It sounds familiar to me. Revelation 12, 3, remember just a few weeks ago, we saw another sign appeared in heaven, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns. That was Revelation 12, 3. So the dragon, we learned, was Satan, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Now the beast, it says, has 7 heads and 10 horns, the same as Satan. Do you see that? So what does that tell you? A, it tells you that this man is evil. And B, that when you look behind the mask, Satan is the power behind the man. They're represented by the same symbol. Satan and this first beast of Revelation 13, known as the Antichrist. How did we get that name? The Apostle John calls him that in another letter in the Bible. 1 John chapter 2 and 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, and chapter 4, I think verses 1 through 4. It's not Hollywood that's given him that name. Verse 2. Now the beast that I saw was like a leopard. his feet like the feet of a bear, his mouth like the mouth of a dragon. The dragon gave him, I'm sorry, his mouth like the mouth of a lion. Did I say that correctly? The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. Now, to understand this better, you need to understand the book of Daniel better. These animals represented a kingdom in the book of Daniel. So perhaps you could say the Antichrist was a little bit Medes and Persians, which was modern-day Iran or Iraq. He's a little bit Iran, a little bit Greece. That's the leopard. A little bit Rome. That's the lion. All rolled into one. Or perhaps these beasts represent modern kingdoms in our time period. I've never thought of that before, and I saw that one day. Irvin Baxter said that on TV, and I said, you know, that's brilliant. Maybe he's talking in language that those that are alive at the time will understand, right? So what would these beasts be in our time period? The leopard is represented by who? Does anyone know what country is symbolized by the leopard today? No. Huh? Germany. The bear is who? Russia. The lion? England. This we know where his power comes from. It says the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. Verse 3. So I saw one of his heads. Now remember, this beast is a conglomeration of all these world empires and rulers. I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So it would seem that this world ruler is going to die, or at least appear to die. I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. Now, perhaps it's someone, one of these that have already died. Someone like, here's a short list I came up with. John F. Kennedy. Everyone, even this guy here is young enough, old enough to know who John F. Kennedy is. He's seen it on YouTube and reads about it in school. You know how he died? How did John F. Kennedy die? Do you know? He was assassinated. Same day when the Beatles came out, November 22nd, 1963. The same day C.S. Lewis died, buried on the last page of the New York Times. One of the greatest Christian authors ever. How about Osama bin Laden? What would you do if you saw this man again? Judas Iscariot. Nero. Adolf Hitler. Donald Trump. Just as much him as possible as any one of these. Is Donald Trump. Someone riddles this man with bullets in his head and he dies, and all the world sees him die, and then whoop, up he goes. It's happened before. Luke chapter 22, verse 3, it happened to Judas when he gave up Jesus. It says, then Satan entered into Judas. He didn't even know he was going to betray Jesus. He asked him, what did he say to him, Darren? I'm sitting around the table. Is it I? He didn't even know. He didn't even know. No one knew. John 14, 27, it said they looked around at each other when he says, I tell you the truth, one of you is going to betray me. No one knew what he was talking about. Even Judas didn't know until he went too far and did the ultimate, his last chance to repent. He gave that up, and it says, and then Satan entered into Judas. And then Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. It could be the same with Donald Trump. Now, maybe there's a lot of people that like Donald Trump. Forgive me. He wouldn't know. But it's going to be something like this. Does everyone follow me? It's going to be something like this. It's going to be on the magnitude of a Donald Trump or John F. Kennedy or Osama bin Laden, is what this says. One of these mortal heads means he could be one of these rulers of these countries. Maybe Saddam Hussein. He was the Medes and the Persians area, Iraq or Iran, or Germany, the leopard, Adolf Hitler, or someone else. But maybe someone that's alive at that time, maybe the leader tomorrow could die and then rise again. They wouldn't have understood that in the year one, but they'd understand it in the year 2018. At the right time, people will understand this. But this is what John's trying to tell us. I saw one of his heads as if it was mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and then all the world marveled and followed after the beast. Now look at what happens as a result. Everyone, we're in Revelation chapter 13, verse 4. Well, all the world marveled and followed after the beast. Let me say, but they were tricked into this, weren't they? Yes, they were. Better word is they were deceived into this. Y'all know what the word deceive means? I wrote my own definition of the word deceive. You want to hear it? It's to think that something is something while something is actually something else.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
So innocent, a crown of thorns upon his head. Feel his heart of grace. Behold this man of suffering, who bore the cross and all our shame. Breathe again this mystery, nailed to a cross, buried. Of love can still be seen on your hands and on your feet. We feel your heart your heart of grace.